He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday, Two for Tuesday. It is November 25th. This is Bill Gunderson. You've got two of us here today. Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. And we have a two-for market today. It is a split decision on the market today with the Dow up. And the NASDAQ down, and it's mostly NVIDIA bringing the NASDAQ down. We'll get to that in a bit. The Dow is up 119 points right now on this holiday shortened week. It's at 46,567. The NASDAQ, however, after a really big day yesterday, which looked a little overblown to me, it was kind of hoping for that rate cut, almost a guaranteed one in December. I don't know about that if it's guaranteed. I think it's still very much up in the air. The NASDAQ is down 150 right now. That's 66 basis points, but had a huge day yesterday. S&P 500 is down 18. That's a quarter of a percent. The Russell 2000 is up a half a percent here this morning. The bond market is behaving itself rather well here so far. Interest rates down to 4.02. We're headed back maybe under 3. I think our Treasury Secretary Bessent is doing a very good job in the bond pits. We've also got gold having a good day here today. Bitcoin continues to struggle. It is up. Nope, now it's down 194 to 86,223. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only investment advisory firm. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We had a huge day in the market yesterday. The NASDAQ was up 2.7%. You know, I think the catalyst, there were a couple of them, Barry. Number one, Google. We got in Google. Man, that was a timely buy for us. Google is up again today.
That one's worked out well.
Oh, man, I'll tell you. It was a message posted on X over the weekend by Mark Benioff of Salesforce about how superior Gemini, now that they've got their brand new AI model out. I'm going to try it today. He was raving about it, how much better it was than ChatGPT over at Microsoft.
Yeah, his quote was interesting. He said something like he's been using ChatGPT since it came out every day for 3 years, and then he used Gemini for the weekend, and he said the new Gemini for the weekend, and he said he's not going back to ChatGPT.
Yeah, that was crazy. But, of course, ChatGPT will have their new one out. I mean, Sam Altman's not done yet over at OpenAI. And I think the NASDAQ was also almost counting on a Fed rate cut after some reports that we had last week. And I still don't think that's guaranteed. I think that's 50-50 coin flip. So I personally think the NASDAQ has put in its high for 2026. That's not a bold statement.
2025.
Yeah. No, not 2026. Right. We want to see higher highs there. But, you know, I mean, that's not that bold of a statement. There's only 5 weeks left, and I'm happy to have sold half my NVIDIA. There is a negative story on NVIDIA out there, and I'm happy to have cashed in some huge profits on the likes of Palantir and CrowdStrike and others, AMD. I just think that the NASDAQ has put in its top for now, and I'm still very bullish. I think we're going to get another run at these stocks here. But I just didn't want to see those big gains that we worked so hard for this year continue to be chiseled away. I wanted to lock those in because, you know, that market, when we called it on April the 8th, April the 9th, and then get a 50% move in the NASDAQ, I'll take it. I'll take the money and run, and if I got to pay taxes on it, I got to pay taxes on it. And I'm going to look for another opportunity to get back into a lot of those stocks at lower prices. And so far, they're much lower from where we sold them. So we're very, very happy. The gold stocks also, Barrick had a huge day yesterday. We recently took a big position in Barrick. And they got a very, very favorable court ruling yesterday. One of their biggest gold mines, I want to say it's in Indonesia, was seized by the government several months ago. This happens in third world countries and second world countries all the time. Indonesia, I know people.
Oh, it was Mali.
Okay.
Yeah, very close to Indonesia.
Yeah. I mean, they're all in that same vicinity right. And kind of exactly. Have the same kind of governments and whatnot, yeah. But, they released it back to Barrick, and I mean that thing produces a lot of gold. And you know, with the big move in gold this year, Barrick has not really participated because of that mine being not part of their operations in 2025. But now that they've got that mine back, I think there's a lot of pent up value there in Barrick. The symbol is B. It used to be ABX at one time. Then I think it went to gold, and now it's B again. That was a huge day. Bitcoin is stabilizing, trying to stabilize, in the 85,000 area. It's not plunging anymore. That would also help the market to see that stabilize. But we had a huge day yesterday. And we're happy for that because we still have a lot of exposure. You know, the AI extends way beyond NVIDIA. I mean, AI really, the nuclear stocks, very much AI related. Other chip stocks, Broadcom had a big day yesterday. AMD is definitely an AI stock. Arista Networks is an AI stock. And we still have a lot of exposure to those core AI companies. But the really expensive ones, you know, and the second tier ones, I mean, you start getting down into Nebius and A-Lab and others, we just don't have any exposure there right now. And those nethermost parts of the vineyard out there are kind of getting hit a little bit right now, and I think they've got some more downside. Ukraine agreed to the proposal by Trump, which is pretty stunning. I don't think he's going to get Russia's agreement, but it seems to me that they're getting pretty darn close. And it seems to be Marco Rubio that is heading up this one over there, trying to get it done by Thanksgiving, working overtime. And who knows? I mean, the European defense stocks continue to sell off, the Rheinmetalls and other stocks like that. And maybe there's hope there. To get a ceasefire between Russia and Ukraine. Just the ending of the killing would be nice. You know, Russia loves a grinding kind of war, and that's what it's been. And the attrition for Russia has been horrendous, the bloodshed. But maybe there's hope there for peace between Russia and Ukraine. We did get an inflation report today. How about that with the government back up and running?
We got a data dump today. It's like they're trying to get rid of all the data before Thanksgiving.
Yes, and the PPI was in line 0.3%. I think I'm with the crowd that says the risk. With the interest rate environment should lean towards the jobs right now instead of inflation, meaning I'm for another rate cut. I wouldn't mind seeing a 50 basis point cut in December. That ain't going to happen. 25 is questionable. The retail sales rose less than expected in November or in September, another little dump. And I do think that we're seeing a little bit of weakness out there amongst the consumer. But, I mean, it didn't show up when Walmart reported recently. Today we have Abercrombie & Fitch reporting. We're not seeing any kind of weakness in the consumer there. It's mostly, I think, the area where inflation, you know, restaurants, things like that, consumer discretionary maybe are under a little bit of pressure right now. But I think the one jobs report that's most disturbing here that I hope Chairman Powell is listening and watching, the private employer shedding an average of 13.5 thousand jobs per week. That's pretty hefty. That's that private payroll report, and that's showing that there's definitely some layoffs, quite a few, especially in the tech sector, I think. I think AI is also another factor right now, cutting some jobs with different areas of that tech sector. Now, when we come back, why is NVIDIA down 6% today? And that's really kind of rattling the NASDAQ. We'll be right back with that news. This is the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. I was just looking here at my database, Barry. We had almost 900, almost 1,000 B-plus or better ranked stocks maybe about 4 or 5 weeks ago. I can always tell when the market's getting bloated, too speculative, too overbought when I get that many. My database is 5,300, so we had almost 20% of the stocks that were ranked B-plus or better, and a lot of that's coming from the momentum side of the equation, definitely not the valuation side of the equation. And now we're down to 493. So we've cut cut that number of stocks in half because a lot of the momentum has come out of the market. And as these stocks correct and come down, the valuations improve also. So that's a healthier market. Do I think that this little correction that we're going through, which isn't very serious, maybe it's serious if you're in Bitcoin. I mean, that's a 35%. That's way more than a correction. That's a bear market. And all these Bitcoin-related stocks like Coinbase and Bitmine Immersion and stuff like that, they've been hammered.
Your tributary example was, to me, it was the best. Maybe a couple, probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago now, where, you know, in terms of tide going back out, right?
Yes.
And, it left those quantum computing places, right? Your high
small
PE
nukes.
Speculative area, right?
Yep. Anything crypto related was the number one. That one,
biggest,
that
yeah.
one just got hammered, which we were never in to begin with. MicroStrategy, which is now named Strategy, would be a perfect example there. That stock has just been bloodied. I mean, I think it's down more than 50%. What's their strategy? Floating bonds and buying more crypto. Okay, so that's like built on a really sandy kind of foundation there from my perspective. Okay, what's up with NVIDIA here today? NVIDIA stock drops after report of Meta, that's our friend Zuckerbucks, considering multi-billion dollar deal for Google AI chips. You know, Barry, it just keeps getting better and better for Google all the time. I mean, Sundar Pichai, the CEO over there, who kind of, you know, was lagging the market for a long time. It seems like they were behind on AI. But they've got a lot of irons in the fire. They have number one, they have Gemini, which now they're on version 3. And if Mark Benioff is any indication, I think he knows a thing or two about AI and tech. I mean, he's raving about their new AI platform. Number two, they have obviously Robotaxi, and they seem to have a heads up lead on Tesla in that space.
And via Waymo, right?
Yeah, Waymo, and Google has a search, so they're hitting on all cylinders, and now they've got AI chips. So anyways, Meta is in discussion to use Google chips, known as Tensor Processing Units, or TPUs, in data centers in 2027. They may also rent chips from Google's cloud division next year, and this is a whole new business. The rental of chips. The agreement could position TPUs as a viable alternative to NVIDIA's chips. And I've always said that that's NVIDIA's biggest, is their biggest risk, are competitors, competition. You know, you never ever in the technology industry, keep your lead. There's always people pecking away. You know, Intel had a huge lead in the chip business for many years, and along came AMD and others, and, you know, pretty soon, that's just the nature of the industry. And now it looks like Google is a formidable competitor, maybe. We'll see. They gotta be if they have a cheaper chip. Chipper chip, the chipper chicken. Remember Father of the Bride in, you know, paying for the big wedding reception. Well, I think that maybe Google's got a cheaper chip, and Meta is looking at that. Well, okay, so let's look. Is this a big deal or not? Well, you look at the stocks and how they're reacting to this. I don't know that it's official yet, but that, you know, Google's breaking its support level, or not Google, NVIDIA is breaking its support level. It's down 6.6%. It's down $12 a share. It's taking a serious hit here. If it breaks 164, that's my line of defense in the sand. I always have a line in the sand on all the stocks that we own. But we cut half of our position at 184. Okay, that was not a bad move. At 184, it's now 170 since we cut half that position. And if we look at the other side, and we increased our position in Google, that was a good move. It was an excellent move because Google now has another big news item, and it's hitting another new high today. And Google is just it's closing in on $4 trillion. It has now blown by Apple, which we do not own. But Apple's also breaking out a little bit, and Apple has moved ahead of Google now, $4.1 trillion. Google is moving towards $4 trillion. The other one that's suffering on this news is Microsoft. Google's gains are Microsoft's losses because Microsoft obviously is ChatGPT, which is tied at the hip to NVIDIA. Which is tied at the hip to the private company, OpenAI, Sam Altman. Microsoft's got a very weak chart. Microsoft's chart, which we sold our Microsoft position, we didn't have a big position in Microsoft. We did when, you know, the shot heard around the world in AI is when they announced ChatGPT.
March of 2023. Yeah, March of
2023. We went in Microsoft big.
Yeah.
And then we eventually started to trim. We sold our last little bunch at $479. Now it's at $468. It's down $11 per share since we sold it. It's testing its 200-day moving average here at Microsoft. I think it really, the jury is out on how much Google's new AI is going to cut into ChatGPT. And, you know, I'm sure ChatGPT is readying their next release. We'll just have to see where the market share comes in at. But right now, the winner, the biggest winner over the last 6 weeks while the market's been selling off is Alphabet. And we're happy to have a large position. It's in our premier growth portfolio. And we even bought it in our value portfolio. Relative value because it was relatively cheap at the time we stepped into it. Now, Microsoft is getting relatively cheap here again. Barry, we may get
right.
And I think there will be another entry point. You know, I don't think Microsoft and OpenAI are done, nor is ChatGPT done. But for right now, Google is the one that they all want to take to the senior prom. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. I'd say the biggest story here influencing the market today is this NVIDIA story. And, of course, NVIDIA is a big member of the NASDAQ. It carries a lot, it throws a lot of weight around. It's a big member of the S&P 500, and it's a big chunk of the Dow. We'll just have to see how that all plays out. There is some important, technical support coming up, line in the sand on NVIDIA for me. And, I just look at it this way, Barry. There is no stock or holding that is sacred. I've been guilty of that in the past, saying, oh, there's just no way that this thing can go lower. It's just fine. But, you know, I've just found that when you lose that momentum and things start to turn against you, and it works the other way. I mean, Google, when things turn good and you break through that resistance level, that ceiling, Google was at a resistance level and a sideways trend for quite a long time. You know, I'm talking 18 months, maybe. Didn't really participate that much in any of this big AI move that we've had since April of this year. And then once it broke through that ceiling, now you've got that momentum and the valuation makes sense and everything like this. And conversely, when things start to turn against a company, and, you know, it was just, what, 2 weeks ago? Was it last week that NVIDIA had a huge earnings report? They went through $5 trillion. I still think NVIDIA has more upside unless, you know, someone really comes in and keeps pecking away at their market share, which is phenomenal right now, you know, with their Blackwell chips. But, you know, there's always guys working in labs somewhere around the clock trying to come up. And there's other threats. Alibaba's definitely a threat to NVIDIA. Lisa Su at AMD is definitely a threat. Broadcom's a threat. And, of course, the other one would be Google is a threat to their big lead that they have. So, anyways, that's why looking at charts is very critical for me in making that final. I mean, I know what the valuation looks like. But sometimes, you know, the market's starting to factor in that valuation may not be as as reliable. Those earnings estimates may not be as reliable as we think.
Yeah, I mean, with keeping Google from that standpoint, right? I mean, you know, this is kind of that first shot across the bow where this last earnings report, Jensen, said they're in 100% of data centers with GPUs, right? And so their market share in that space currently 100%, right? And so this is that first, it's kind of reported. I don't know if it's, either one have officially said so, but, with Meta, a big hyperscaler buying these chips from Google,
it's at least
an alternative, right? Compared to,
And that's, we all know it's inevitable. It was inevitable that eventually they start to catch up to NVIDIA. We just didn't know when. But this is something to definitely take note of because, and look at Google. They took on really in the last 3 or 4 days, they took on Microsoft. Maybe they paid Benioff to do his report on X. I don't know. Maybe Benioff owns a bunch of Google stock. I don't know. But they definitely took a chunk out of Microsoft's hide, and they also took a chunk out of Jensen Huang's hide.
Right.
And so, but those guys aren't done either.
And you know, they may take some out of Apple. They have the other end of this thing with Gemini, and it you know, potentially being you know, a game changer for them at least, or at least give them some advantage there. You know, right now they pay Apple to be on Apple's phone for Google search.
Yeah.
Right. Of course, we know that Apple in the AI space has not, certainly Siri has not kept up with the rest of the crew, even though they were one of the first, if not the first. But, you know, the point being is that, you know, they're going, I mean, they're taking, I mean, they, now Apple may have to actually at some point pay them to have search on, you know, so that's another potential, you know, income, you know, differential for Google. So they've got some wins across the board.
Yes,
and then they already
had a good weekend.
Didn't they win? Am I not mistaken? They won an antitrust case this year,
yes,
too.
Yes, they won
right?
a big antitrust.
A few
they got
ago,
cleared
right?
of all charges. So
right.
it's kind of like, wow. Okay, now, you know, I like good, healthy competition. It makes everybody better. It keeps everybody on their toes creating better products. I mean, really, that's the capitalism system, is healthy competition, you know, little government intervention. Let these guys go. Let them invent. Let the prices fall where they may. Let the consumer choose what they want. It makes everybody better. And, you know, just like there's competition in that industry, I have competition in my industry, right? And, okay, so I take a little bit different approach. Wedbush, I love them. God bless them, but they're perma bulls. NVIDIA and Microsoft are among Wedbush's top 10 tech stocks to own into year end. Well, now we cut our NVIDIA in half and we got rid of our Microsoft. So we just take a little bit different approach that
and don't
you know,
own Apple.
Well, and don't forget Apple. I mean, we got out of Apple several years ago when innovation stopped. And every iPhone, every new iteration of the iPhone was tweaked just a little bit. And it just wasn't enough for me. And my valuations don't work out anymore on Apple because of the growth rate has slowed down to single digit. I think that there is some excitement in Apple again, and I think it's because they're going to force Cook out. They're using the excuse he's 65 years old. You know, that doesn't really mean anything. I just think he hasn't done much in the way of innovation over the last several years. So I think there's times to own stocks.
He reminds me of he's been kind of a caretaker. I mean, in my book, he's been kind of a dog walker, right? Essentially, it was, all the innovation, they've kind of, ran out. They haven't really had anything new. And, you know, I saw an article, I think, in Wall Street Journal over the weekend where they had, basically four, they were highlighting, it's bad when they're highlighting four people who may take over the job for Cook in an article, you know what I mean?
So I hope it's somebody more exciting, more innovative, more creative. I don't know if you can't bring back.
Yeah. Maybe AI can bring back, jobs.
I don't know. And it seems like they seem to be on the losing end of talent. As Meta raids them, Google raids them, OpenAI raids Apple. They still make a good product. I've got my new Apple phone sitting here. Nothing's been done on it because I've got to take the time to transfer everything. That's just frustration waiting to happen for me. But anyways, a lot of these stocks that we've gotten out of for now and cashed in big profits, Wedbush, their top 10, Palantir, AMD, Tesla, Apple, Google, CrowdStrike, Palo Alto Networks. Okay, BMO upgrading MP Materials. It had a big day yesterday. It's selling off today along with the nuclear stocks, which also had a big day yesterday. But they're calling, and I agree, MP Materials is the rare earth champion. because they have proven reserves, they have sales, they have huge backing by the U.S. government.
And NP refined. And
Apple. By
and Peter as a refiner. Thiel.
Yes, and as a refiner. So we're on MP Materials, and we wish them the best because rare earths are very, very important. Okay, let's see. Where do we go next? We're going to go to this story here next. A lot of companies, this $4 trillion mark for Alphabet is all of a sudden, I'm seeing a lot of articles on Seeking Alpha on who the biggest players are out there. Of course, NVIDIA is still number one. They're not $5 trillion anymore, though. They're coming back. They're lower than $5 trillion. Apple is now $4.1 trillion. Microsoft is $3.5. And, of course, Google's approaching. And then it's a long way now, way down to the next tier. Broadcom's $1.8 trillion. Taiwan Semiconductor is down today because they're tied at the hip pretty much. I mean, they make chips for almost everybody, but obviously NVIDIA is their biggest customer. They are currently, Taiwan Semiconductor is currently at $1.1 trillion. And China is rattling the saber more and more towards Taiwan here recently. You've always got that risk out there. We'll be right back. Back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I guess the market, my biggest thing that I've come to focus on during my 26 years in the business, the market is cycles. There's cycles in the market. There's cycles within sectors. I mean, right now, this is a devastating cycle for out there in the speculative areas of the market. Whereas they had a really hot cycle for about 6 months. The AI stocks since April the 8th of this year have had this tremendous, just tremendous run. And it's weakening. I look at AMD. I think this is a good example. AMD is down 8% today. We made a lot of money in AMD. We sold AMD at $237.71, which was just below its high. It hit $267. We sold it at $237 and took a really big profit. I'd have to look and see here. We owned it in a couple of our portfolios. Let me just look at the model here. AMD... And we owned it. We sold AMD for a, let's see, where's the percent?
We only got to own it for like 2 months.
No, I think it was longer than that.
Did we own it that long?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was longer than that. I'm trying to find it here, what we sold it for. But I want to say 103%, Barry. We made 103%. We owned it from June the 3rd until we sold it on October 29th. Now, I would love to hold the stock forever and never sell it, like Warren Buffett does. But, you know, to see it go back to where you bought it at, I don't know. That just seems to not be a smart way to go from my perspective. So I saw it kind of hit a really stretched valuation number. I saw it hit a top, and I started to see it roll over. I'm going to take 100% profit, even if it's a short-term profit. I think that of the three doors that I have to choose from, door number one would be to never sell, and that's kind of the Wedbush door. And, you know, look, everybody's got their own way of doing things. The number two door would be, let's hang on and wait for a long-term capital gain.
Yeah. And AMD was a perfect example for your relative value portfolio. It's just a great example of, when I kind of, explaining the strategy itself, it's a great example of, what you're looking for, relative value compared to, say, NVIDIA and Broadcom, other chip names And they didn't really participate for a couple of years, and it's a name we're familiar with, and you know, they chart finally started tilting up, and you jumped in.
Okay, Barry, as a certified financial planner, quantify the difference between a short-term capital gain and a long-term capital gain. The difference is not that big, right? Maybe 10% or something like that, right?
Yeah, it depends on someone's individual tax rate. You know, your short-term rate is going to be, you know, charged at your, you know, kind of your, you know, your effective, essentially your effective tax rate. Right?
And what's that? What's the average person out there pay? 25?
Well, you can, roughly around 25 would probably be the effective tax rate.
And what's a long-term capital gain rate?
That's going to be, you know, part of it can be, it's weird now in the tax code, part of it can kind of be a little bit tax-free, but not, you know, only a small amount. Of course, most of it's going to be at, you know, really 20% primarily.
So you're talking a difference of 5%. Well, hell, AMD has come down from 267, now it's 197. That is $60-$70 per share. The stock is down
26%.
Yeah, so what's the difference of taking a short-term gain? So many people are hung up on that. Well, obviously, if you don't sell at all, you're not going to pay any kind of a gain. But you've just lost a big chunk of your gain, and to me, it has further downside risk. AMD has risk down to its 200-day moving average, which is way below where it's at.
Because
it's
moved so far so fast.
Today.
Yeah, yes. I mean, what would you say? Right around 150 is probably the kind of that support level-ish?
The 200-day moving average, which it could easily get down to that, is trading at 150. So you got another 33% downside risk. Then you're back to where you bought the stock. So, you know, I just think door number three is take the short-term gain, praise the Lord, and, you know, pay your taxes. That's pay your tithing, pay your taxes. That's my philosophy on the market, okay? Because these cycles, the market has definitely, too, the cycles have gotten much quicker than in my maybe the first 10 years I was in the business. Why have they gotten quicker? Because you've got technology increasing the it's increased exponentially, the speed. Look at Gemini, comes out with one up on OpenAI in the last couple of months or whatever, and all of a sudden they're the king of AI. So I just think you have to be a little bit more of a cycle investor. That's what I'm going to call it. I'm not a trader. I don't consider myself a trader. I consider myself somebody who spots a cycle early on in the cycle, ride it for all it's worth, and man, if you were right, cash out when the cycle starts to turn against you. This current cycle began the first week in April. We identified it, we exploited it, and it started to end about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks, whenever the last Fed meeting was. That was really the end to this current cycle. Anyways, that's the way I look at the market, and guess what? We're getting geared up for the next cycle, because these leaders are not done by any stretch of the imagination. But right now you're seeing valuations contract and compress. You're seeing profit taking. Profit taking begins, starts out very slowly, and then it picks up steam very quickly, and you want to be out before that happens. That's the way I look at things. Okay, we're out of time. To get the newsletter, 4 free weeks, the newsletter, access to the app, the live trading alerts, several alerts that go out from me, on the water reports daily from someone with 26 years of experience watching these cycles come and go. Go to GundersonCapital.com to get somebody managing your portfolio who sounds like we try to be on top of things. We're definitely not asleep at the wheel like many out there in the industry. And if you just want to settle for 60-40 bond stock allocation, you're 60 years old, Well, okay. Be that it as it may, I think there's a better way myself. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.